It's not been a great week of headlines for the Church of England. First, we had the Bishop's report on human sexuality, which seems to have caused distress and anger among both conservative and gay Christians alike, and bafflement and derision among the general public. Then, there were the extraordinary reports of abuse at summer camps run for public schoolboys by an evangelical charity, which the Church of England did not adequately deal with when they first came to light. And then, on Friday evening, reports emerged from my own theological college, Westcott House in Cambridge, of a service of evening prayer conducted in the slang of the pre-1960s gay subculture, with God addressed in prayer as the Duchess. All this reported with glee by the BBC and the national newspapers. The salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill. On the basis of last week's media coverage, this seems to be a tall order for the Church of England. Its moral credibility, its ability to speak out at a national level about things that matter, this has been damaged. And the damage is sadly very often self-inflicted. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Christians throughout the centuries have tied themselves up in knots over the place of good works in the Christian life and in God's scheme of salvation. So much so that many Christians will look at you with suspicion if you talk about good works, accusing you of what they call works righteousness, the belief that we can be good through our own efforts. Arguments about the relationship between grace, faith, and good works are there in the New Testament, and they came into sharper focus in the bouts of controversy that have broken out in the church through the centuries. I'm not much of a theologian, and so I try to think about all this in a simple way. It seems to me that the Bible teaches two things about the place of good works in the Christian life, things that are not contradictory, but must be held together. The first thing is that our relationship with God depends on God's action and not on ours. God calls us into relationship with him out of sheer love. We cannot work our way into God's good books. The story of the Bible, the story of both the Hebrew Scriptures and of the New Testament, is the story of God's free action in reaching down to us, loving, saving, and calling us. God calling Moses from the burning bush. God giving the law to the people of Israel at Sinai. God speaking through the prophets. God reaching out in love, closing the gap between God and us. God does this supremely in Jesus, not merely coming near to us, but uniting divinity with humanity in the person of Jesus. Our relationship with God depends on God's action, on God's love. We cannot work ourselves into his favor. The second thing is that God cares about what we do, and God wants us to do good. And God sends the Holy Spirit to strengthen and to guide us. That is why there is such a thing as Christian ethics. And that is why Christian ethics are not simply a set of prohibitions, but include positive injunctions to love our neighbour. We do not love our neighbour because it will get us into God's good books. We love our neighbour because God loves us, because God made us for love, because God calls us to love. Our relationship with God depends on God's action, not our action. But that does not mean that we should neglect to do good. And so, whilst always recognizing that we cannot work our way into God's favor, we can talk unapologetically and without embarrassment about good works, because that is what God, in his loving wisdom, asks of us.